the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever sees me in a dream, beautiful, good piece of news from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every mu'min's jan, every mu'min's life is that somehow they can do the ziyarah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. Everyone has a desire and a want and an emotion and a feeling. And on top of this, another piece of good news that we get with this is that the person who gets the mercy, the fadl, the grace, then on top of that he gets another grace and a mercy upon a mercy, that then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in reality I will also be with him and I'll do the ziyarah for that person. The ulama ikram, the respected scholars, have written a beautiful point here. They state that if you cannot do ziyarah, because this is the hadith is then the ziyarah will happen. It will happen. If during the life you can't do the ziyarah, but at that time when that person is departing from this world and the breath is running out, then at that time definitely ziyarah will occur. Subhanallah. So this is a beautiful point here. And there's a poem, a couplet that's crossing my mind, that when the life is passing away, so beautiful, there's a beautiful good piece of news here that a person, when his life is finishing and he sees and does the ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a beautiful thing. Beautiful situation. So reality is that alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever seen me in the dream, then he has seen me in the dream. Most verily, in reality, he has seen me. Rasulullah's ziyarah is his ziyarah. It is no vision. It is not shaitan who can take the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no element of doubt that when a person does the ziyarah mubarak, the blessing ziyarah of Rasulullah, then totally he has done the ziyarah of Rasulullah. There's no doubt in this. And on top of this, we have the scenario that in the dream, when the ziyarah is attained, then that in reality it is attained. Yes, it is in reality attained, the ziyarah. So for example, I'll present a few dreams in front of you, to you, to understand this. Alama Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a bab on this, about the ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the subject or the chapter of it. And they have mentioned an event that there was an individual, a friend of Allah, a pious person, and in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, he presented himself, he travelled for ziyarah, and he was a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, and he had poverty and hardship, but he reached there to Medina. And regularly in this journey, these situations occur, especially the people from our continent, subcontinent, and even people from here, alhamdulillah, have desire, they're okay, that I might not have the means, somehow they get the saving for the ticket for the flight, then they reach there, they don't worry about 5-star hotel or this hotel, they just consider that we're here, I've reached here, wherever I'm going, inshallah Allah will make it easy and the issues will be solved. They have yaqeen on this, and Allah Ta'ala's fadl, grace, allows the issues to be solved. And with such people there's a lot of enjoyment in the journey. So sometimes the people from our location, the people of Allah, the friends of Allah who are ashiq, who are the lovers, then they travel upon the tawakkal Allah. They take their luggage, they say, we'll see what happens. If we get something to eat, fine. At least there's the pavement to sleep on, isn't there? What else do we need? We're in the city of the Prophet ﷺ, and the man is there, alhamdulillah. What more do we need than this? They are ashiqs like this, lovers like this. I've seen myself an ashiq, a lover there. And he was a doctor, Dr. Noor Muhammad, and quite some time ago, older days, and Allah with His fadl and karam gave the itikaf opportunity. He used to give the opportunity for itikaf, and there I used to meet him there, and I didn't know him much before. He was daif at that time, he was old, and there are some kitabs of his and mashallah poetry, and I became a friend of his, and he was quite daif and weak. And where I used to sit, he used to come there as well and seat himself there. And there was a lot of love, and mashallah, he had a lot of ishq. And what I realized was that he used to come from far. Where did you come from? He said, I come from Khandak. In them days, Madinatul Munawwara, Masjid Nabawi was quite small, just up to the inner boundary that we see. It wasn't spread out too much. He used to come walking. I said, is it? He come from there. And where's his family? He said, oh, they're not there. What was his situation, Muamalat? He said, just once they came for ziyarat. And he was a doctor, quite famous. And after coming, he said that, Waliz of Allah, what is his situation, circumstances? He said that I was stopped, that I'm not going to go back. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to stay here. He stayed. And people saw him the night time. And with his beard, mashallah, he used to sweep the streets of Medina, the dust on the streets. He used to have this desire. With his beard, he used to sweep and clean. So such ashiks and lovers have passed. And they go, and they still go now. And this will continue, because the dunya is such a place that what is there? There's nothing lacking there for people like this. So he used to state that Hazrat went, and he had nothing, and there was hunger and poverty, nothing to eat, drink, clothes, struggling. And he didn't have enough that he could eat, and there was struggling, poverty, and extreme. And he sat in Masjid Nabawi, and he didn't request anything. And then he felt a bit sleepy, drowsy. As soon as the drowsiness came, he saw the Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu. Both came to him, were coming towards him. Alama Sakhawi rahmatullah has written this. He said, so he was there, and he said that he saw Hazrat Umar and Ali. Hazrat Ali, and they said, don't worry, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. Subhanallah. And then he said that I suddenly became alert, and I was severely hungry. Severely hungry. Very bad situation. And then he said, I saw that the Prophet ﷺ had come. When he came, in his hand was a chapati, a piece of bread. And Rasulullah ﷺ gave the bread to that wali. He said, I was so hungry, straightway I started to eat. And he said, I had just eaten half, and then suddenly I woke up. And when I woke up, as I said to you in the beginning, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ziyarah in the dream, it is the reality. It is not a vision. He said, as soon as I opened my eyes, I saw that half the chapati was in my hand. So this became tabarruk. And here I remember an event of my Hazrat, my Shaykh. I'll tell you about his event. It's written in the kitabs, two or three things he mentioned. And he wrote karamat and kashf, and the whole kitab is made. So Hazrat rahimahullah, his hal was the same. And he had fikr and faqa and hunger. When he used to travel, he didn't have any great luxuries or goods. He had tawakkal Allah, and he used to travel on the journey. He used to depart, and he didn't have anything. So in the same way, he was a safar, journey. And he stated that, when I got to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, then there, everything I had, whatever I did had a few things, it was finished. Few days of hunger. It's easy to say faqa and hunger. If I don't get the food in the night, I can't sleep till the morning. It's hard to get up in the morning. Oh, I'm extremely hungry. I didn't eat dinner last night. So in the heat, and there's no air conditioning, no cold water, nothing at that time. So the hunger had started. And the children were with him. And a few days of hunger and poverty, Hazrat sir. And he said that I felt suddenly a bit drowsy, a bit sleepy. And I saw in the dream, subhanallah, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into my dream. Subhanallah. And he said, Ali, that whose guest are you? He asked me. And I said, Hazrat, I'm your guest. And I said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm your guest. And Rasulullah said, open your hand. He said, I opened my hand. Hazrat said, open my hand. And he put something into my hand. And as soon as he put it into my hand, then straight after that, my eyes opened. And I saw, when I opened my fist, there was a rial. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So in the same way, this, the reality, the true thing, the haqq, the visibility, what the person sees in the dream when he sees the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا أَرَسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. His phase will continue till Qiyamah, my friends. The people want to enjoy, they enjoy. They take, they loot the goods. The people want to loot the goods of the world, they loot. And the people want to loot the akhirah hereafter, they're looting the hereafter. So that's the difference here. The two sides opposite, they will continue until Qiyamah. Hazrat Karimallah, Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajh, I will tell you his dream. Subhanallah. He stated that I saw in the dream, in the night I fell asleep, and I saw that the Holy Prophet ﷺ had a majlis, and it was fresh, gathering the Sahaba, the noble companions are sitting with me, and the Prophet ﷺ presented, it was in the gathering. And this was the culture, the manner at that time of the Prophet ﷺ, that whenever new fruit would come out, when the harvest would come, like dates, then first and foremost, they would be presented to the Prophet ﷺ by the companions. They would come and give it to the Prophet ﷺ. As soon as the fruit would grow and harvest, they would break it without distribution. They wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't give it out. They wouldn't sell it. They would come and bring that fruit, whatever it was, a date or any other type of fruit. The first fruit in the harvest would be presented to the Prophet ﷺ. And the name was Baqara. Yeah, it was in Arabic. And Hazrat Ali said, there was a majlis and a companion came in the dream and he presented the Baqara to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, it was put in front of him and there were so many Sahaba and he started to distribute and spread out the Baqara to the companions. He said, I was sitting there and I was given a date. And Hazrat Ali Karamul Wajah said that date, when I ate it, it was so tasty and enjoyable, that I was just so amazed by the taste. And he said, I felt like I wanted one more. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ, I say to him that, give me one more. But out of shame and modesty, I didn't ask and request for one more. Please give me another. So I was ashamed, but my heart felt so much. I had a desire that somehow I need one more date, this date. He said, in this like doubt and thought and emotion, has Ali Karamullah said, my eyes open. And I saw in front of me, it was Salah time, Fajr time. And I did wudu. And I went straight to the masjid. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this was his generation, he was the Khalifa, the Amir. He said, when I went to the masjid, and he was leading the salah, and he was leading the salah, the prayer. And he stated, these are the same verses that he recited in the salah that I saw in the dream. The Holy Prophet ﷺ recited them in Fajr, in the dream. And Hazrat Umar was reciting. He said, what by chance is this? He said, I heard this dream, I saw these same two verses the Prophet ﷺ recited in the dream, and Hazrat Umar was reciting. The same, maybe this could be just a chance. He said the prayer finished and everyone was sitting and all the brothers were sitting. Hazrat Umar sat down as well. And after a while, in the same way, an individual came and he presented Baqara. SubhanAllah, he said, Allah, this was my dream. And it's reliving in reality. It's repeating itself. He said, when the Baqara was presented and I was sitting next to Hazrat Umar, he said that he started to distribute the Baqara. And as he was distributing, one date he gave to me as well, in the same way I saw in the dream. And he said, when I ate that date, it was the same taste, just like the same enjoyment as the dream. Then I was ashamed. But hey, Hazrat Umar was my friend. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that this was our friendship between us. I didn't have to be ashamed of asking us. I didn't stop myself. I said, please give me another one. And then listen what happened. When I asked another date from him, give me one more. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he smiled and said that Hazur, he gave it. If he gave it, I would have given it to you. If the Prophet hasn't been given it, then I would have given it to you. So I said, this became a reality, that dream. So I didn't get it from the dream and I didn't get it from reality. So the meaning of saying this is that the faizan of the Prophet ﷺ, this is his faiz. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. This is the reality. Allah's Nabi says, today even he loves his ummah, he has affection for them, and it's about us extending a hand of contact. We think he is far. No, brothers, the destination is not far, it is close, my brothers. There was a pious elder from Jaipur, Naqshbandi elder. He passed away 100-150 years, maybe just over 100 years, and there was a great sheikh, and he lived in Jaipur, Naqshbandi Silsila, and there's an area, and he made his masjid and khanqa in Jaipur. Maybe now it's there, and he had quite a few murids, students. And 140 times he did ziyarah, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine his status. Same like us, eating, drinking, sleeping, a wife like we have a wife, he had a wife, children. And this was his life. And this is our life, isn't it? Everyone has the same life. The same stomach he had, the same desires, the same work and children and dunya and the requirements of life. And it's not that, for example, he didn't have the things and the requirements and the challenges of life, or it's increased now. In reality, it's the same humans today, the same humans then. We're the same as they are. There's no difference at all. The life, the challenges, the circumstances, but they understood the reality of life. He understood the reality of life. We haven't. Look, if you think, That when you hear about the walis of Allah, you hear about their life and you get enjoyment and taste, and your deen, it revives, and the love of Rasulullah revives in our lives, in our hearts. And if their lives we read about, imagine the enjoyment in their life, the taste in life, that they had a close association with the Prophet ﷺ. The 140 times he did ziyarah. Tell me, the 140 years old, a person doesn't even have that age, and in the lifespan similar to us, how many times he did ziyarah? What was the reason he did ziyarah? Think, how many ziyarahs he did and why? What's the reason behind this? The secret that to do ziyarah in the same way as people who did ziyarah, the Prophet ﷺ gives his grace and mercy. Rasulullah ﷺ doesn't see which country is he in. Is he here? Is he far? Where is he in Medina or in Makkah or in Pakistan or England? No, there's no such boundary or distance. No. Every place, a person in every locality can do ziyarah. Everywhere, wherever you are in the world, you can do ziyarah. Subhanallah. So he said, I made a masjid, or I constructed, assisted in the construction. I'll tell you one dream. He said, I made a masjid, and after making the masjid, by chance, I was tired a lot, and I felt sleepy, and I didn't have the adab. You know, because it happened, I was sleepy. And look at the caution here. He said that at that time I wasn't thinking, and the adab wasn't there. My feet, they were towards Medina at that time. Makkah or Medina, both are respected places. And this is the maqam of adab. This is not a sharia masala, but this is about adab I'm speaking. That sometimes a person, he gets to that situation, that as a person gets greater, then his rank and status and level of adab increases as well. So when a person becomes pious and close to Allah, then adab becomes lazim on him. It becomes very lazim on him. Essential. The adab becomes so lazim, that Allah's Nabi says, the Holy Prophet has stated to the Sahaba Ikram, that Allah Ta'ala has told the Sahaba Ikram, that don't increase your voice over the Prophet. And this ayah you will see written above the Rozmar. When you go to the Jali, to the Rodham of the fence, this verse is written above there. So what is it, the volume higher or lower? So a pious elder went, and look at how people they were at that time, what kind of people they were. So he was standing there for ziyarah, and his murids were there with him, his students, and their ishq, their love, their affection. The situation was such that look how they used to stand and read salam. And they saw that 1.5 hours they stopped there. And after that, they left the Rawd Mubarak. So that Hazrat, 1.5 hours, you stood there. He said that my practice is such that until that 1.5 hours, I can't breathe at that time. He said, this was what I was trying to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he, before he came, before he presented himself, he practiced that however long I can stop my breath, because he understood that Rasulullah ﷺ, even to breathe in front of him is disrespect. And this is the maqam of his adab, his respect. He said, I cannot feel that I stand there and I'm breathing there. I had to stop my breath. I want to present myself without breathing. And so much time I stood there for 1.5 hours. I stopped breathing. I held my breath. When I saw that my breath is about to break, then I left the road and I departed from there. Subhanallah. So this is my brother's adab. However high you can take the adab, you should. So he said, I was sitting and my feet were towards the Haramain. And he said that what happened for us is not important. This is a minor thing. We say, it's not important. You see how people are sitting there with their feet spread out. You see in Makkah, Mukarramah, how people are sitting. If you say to somebody, what are you doing? That you've got the Quran on your feet and your feet are spread out towards the direction. They say, where is it written? Which Sharia are you talking about? Which hadith is there? And who's going to debate with this person? How can you argue with these people? You can't reason with them. So here's the hal. He's so far from Makkah, Medina, Jaipur, India. And where's Madinatul Munawwara? And how far the distance and the obstacles in the way? And there's nothing. Nothing. You could say it's nothing. By chance, he said that to my feet, they were in the direction towards Medina, Makkah. At that same time, the Prophet ﷺ came to him. He said that Rasulullah ﷺ addressed me and said, listen carefully. He looked at me closely with attention, and I was distressed at that time. And Rasulullah ﷺ was not happy. And suddenly he said, I became alert. And this is the event, if we pay attention to this. What's the reason for this? That brothers, my colleagues, Allah's Nabi ﷺ has stated, when he has stated something, it is haqq, it is the truth. And nothing is conceived, the maqam he has attained. We become so lacking with hope and lacking of any chance that we can't do nothing, we can't achieve anything. The Prophet ﷺ has given us a great path, an open door. Man habba sunnati fa man ahabbani. This is the hadith. That if you love my sunnah, then see my love, how it starts to travel with you. Watch, you'll see. So if we bring Rasulullah's direction and sunnah into our life, and understand that everything else is artificial and temporary, then we will still stay alive, we will still eat, we still have to wear clothes, we still have to live in the dunya, we still have to earn, we still have to live the life in the family. The difference being that we need to change the direction of our life and take it to which direction? The Holy Prophet ﷺ sunnah. Our eating, drinking, business, earning, everything that's in our life, our mu'amalat, environment, society, social intercourse. Not that what we want to do, we'll do according to sunnah. Whatever we think is hard, we leave the sunnah. What kind of life is that? Now, I have given you a few examples of life. Of those individuals, what was their morning, what was their evening, what was their morning and their night. Oh, subhanAllah, can you imagine that life? I ask you a question, that yesterday night or tonight, alhamdulillah, may it happen that you have the ziyarah of Rasulullah. Imagine this, think for a moment. And Rasulullah speaks to you, and you hear from him. Imagine for how many days you will feel so good. You won't feel like sleeping. Your salah will change. Your way of talking will change. The style of your speech will change. A beautiful spirituality will come into your life. Ruhaniyat. And a beautiful phase of life will come into your life. Beautiful. Will it not? So tell me. So when a person's life becomes like this, and just a few desires, personal, you have to suppress. We have to live our life. But if you're living our life, if I'm living my life, if we're living our life according to our desires, if I'm doing my business according to my desires, I'm eating and drinking according to my desires, I've got my own conditions and way of life. And there, that Rasulullah said, that follow my system, my law, that whenever you want to do something, how did Rasulullah did it? Sunnah, Ishara, whatever you do in life, Mu'asharat, society, business, home, family life, make a style. Makes that, it's not difficult. Rather, it's very easy. We've got guidelines. And in that, alhamdulillah, 100% there's no loss. The question doesn't arise, you'll get lost. Rather, barakah upon barakah. Rahmah upon rahmah. If we, you, me, if I'm earning haram, 5,000. I'll give you an example. Me, if I'm earning 5,000 haram, and there's haram mixed in, or fraud, or lying, or cheating, or whatever, okay? And after that, live my life according to the sunnah, and I say, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to earn according to the sunnah. Doesn't matter what happens. Whatever the sharia says, I will earn. Now what will happen? That 5,000 will cut and come in front of you 150. You'll get reduction. 5,000, you lose out, and it reduces. It happens. You can get a tight situation in life. You can have less salary or less earnings. It becomes 150. Less. Look where you had 5,000 before, and where's 150? If you look at the quantity. Oh, that I'm in loss now. If you start counting, oh, I'm going to be destroyed. But make your iman strong. Make your iman strong. Increase your iman. On that side, you've got more. But here, you've got less. Nothing. How can 150 be equivalent to 5,000? But the 5,000 will go to waste. Allah Ta'ala will somehow make it go to waste. You got quantity. You see 5,000, but your money won't be yours. And it won't stay yours. And nor will you get dunya, nor will you get akhirah. You'll be crying, distress, loss, complaints. But on the other side, the quantity which is less, 150 in opposition to 5,000 before, you have less, 150 now, because you've got halal way of life. Alhamdulillah, such a big guarantee is coming from the Prophet that you earn this according to the sunnah. I'm with you. Subhanallah, you eat to your fill, feed your children, and see the barakah that will come in the 150 as opposed to the 5,000. What did you get out of the 5,000? You can't even imagine that in the 150, the barakah, and the biggest thing you will get, leave the dunya, leave the money, leave the wealth, leave eating and drinking, the biggest gift and reward and beautiful thing you'll get. And this is the promise of Rasulullah said, that I will give you my ziyarah. You will get my ziyarah. Imagine. Tell me, what a bargain. What a bargain. So that money, even if it doesn't stay, if you have 5,000, fraud, cheating, no sukoon, no contentment, you're leaving the dunya and the money leaves you. And then your children will eat that haram they will do. And all of that will go to where? You think that you will die and that you are free from the money God, the haram that I've earned. I'll give you the example. If I earn haram and I put it into the bank, and then the person comes to me, Zaid, salutes me and says, your time's gone, let me take the money with me. He said, no, leave the money here. that nothing's going to go with you. The angel of death will come. The angels will come. They say, I've come to take you. Your ruh, nothing of yours will stay here. Your pen will stay there. Your paper will stay there. He says, I won't take anything of yours. I've just come to take your ruh. You come with me. He'll take my finger and just come behind me. There, sit with ease and don't complain. Your clothes, take them off. Leave them here. Because the world we're going to, this currency will not work there. Isn't this that happens? That wherever you're going, there's no coolness there, no breeze there, no hot there, no cold there. There's no standard there, no climate there. Everything here, take it off here. And just come naked with me, and wherever you came from, that's where you're going to go. And I've come to take you. You came naked. Did you come with clothes on when you were born? You came naked, isn't it? Totally naked. You had nothing on your body. Totally naked, isn't it? You were shrieking and screaming. In the same way, the angel said, the way you came out shrieking, now you will go, and everyone after you will shriek, then I'm going to take you with me. When you came to the world, they were happy. They were smiling. And they were laughing, and you were crying that, whatever come, I've come from Jannah into this world. I was fine, I was enjoying myself. And after a while, I'll get circumcised, then I'll sit in the school, in the madrasa. And after that, Mawla Baksh will come, and then I'll get married, and another difficulty will start, another phase of life of the children. Then after that, I'll have to work. And then at that time, that's why you were crying and shrieking, isn't it? When you come to the world now, the angel will say, I'm coming, I've come, I'm going to take you with me. And the people after you, they will cry, and you won't cry. You'll be happy you're departing. Come happy with me. Leave all the impurity here, the clothes and the silk and the kurtas and the kadai, with the kadai and the decoration around the neck and the collar, isn't it? Leave that all behind. So my brothers, tell me, that the money, oh my money, money, where is it? You'll say, leave it. You'll say, halal haram, there you can't lie. You'll say, hey, what is all food I earned? Oh, Malik al-Maut. He said, then leave it here, wherever it is. Leave your checkbook here. You don't need your signature. The government will say that now it's all null and void. The check won't even work and the card won't work. If the wife goes to take the money up, withdraw, she'll be caught. Your husband's died. Why are you running and using this card? This is the reality. One cash card, debit card, the wife can't use after you die. This is the reality of the dunya. And so people will be left after us, and what the assets we leave, the money we leave, the buildings we leave, and the currency we leave. And they'll say, make your own cards and then you'll inherit the wealth. We think we're free when we pass away. No, everything we leave behind. And alongside that, the games that will be played out. So where will our maal go? Our wealth. And they will be crying after us, and we will be beat in the grave. We'll be beaten. Allahu Akbar. What have we earned? Tell me, when we were alive, we were wretched. When we die, we're wretched as well. Isn't it? And here what's being said, that if we live our life according to the way of Rasulullah, a few dreams I've told you, the interpretation. And if you see in the Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Muhaddis Delwi Rahmatullahi, with his father, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz, with his father, 40 dreams he kept, he recorded, of the Prophet ﷺ's dreams. Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi, he says this, that if in one moment I don't see the Prophet, if I don't see his ziyarah, then I consider that I'm finished. He said, I consider that I'm finished. Why? Imagine his wujud. He said, no, 1 second if I see the if I don't do the ziyarah for a moment, man nahabba sunnati fa man nahabani. Why was this? He loved the sunnah of Rasulullah so much. He had such solid love, true love, and this is the love that Rasulullah gives. He gives the encouragement and love and affection. I saw my husband, I swear, in big maqams. And such beautifully he would name the Prophet ﷺ with such love that you could see he had ishq in his heart. He was a lover. We used to be not there, and he used to be hungry and struggling. Once he was sitting, and I said that, no passport. Today you have a passport. And I'm sitting behind. He didn't have a passport. He didn't know he was going to go. He didn't have any money. No preparation. He's sitting waiting for the Hajj. And I said, I thought to my Hazrat, my Shaykh, how shall I ask that? How will you return? You don't have a passport. You don't have any money. No currency. Nowhere to stay. And you were going to do the whole Hajj. And the whole family is with Hazrat. And I thought, what will happen? And he's not asking for him. And I'm thinking, sitting behind the reality, I'm telling the truth about my Shaykh. Because I can speak about my Shaykh. Everybody speaks about his Shaykh. If you got a Shaykh, you'll speak about him. And I am not going to speak about Fazal Ali Qureshi. I'm then my grandfather Shaykh. I'm going to speak about my Hazrat, who I've got a link with. Whatever I'm going to get from my Shaykh. Not from Fazal Ali Quraysh. From who? From my Shaykh. I will attain. This is tasawwuf. Don't jump one step ahead. He has dropped into the ditch. Always look and focus towards your Shaykh. That this is my pillar of my deen. Subhanallah, remember this point I'm telling you. So I said, he's got nothing. Maybe 3-4 minutes would have passed after my thoughts, and two scenes presented themselves in front of me. And I'm telling you the truth here. I'm not presenting stories to you. Two scenes unravel in front of me. I'm sitting in front of Bab al-Wida, and we're sitting there. Hazrat used to there next to Rukn Yamani. This was our headquarters for years. 10-20 years this was the seat of Hazrat, and mine, that was our jainamaz. He used to sit there, I used to sit behind him. Even today people recognize us there in front of Ruki and Amini. That corner Hazrat used to sit there, and this Ajiz Fakir used to sit there behind Hazrat. So this was our location all day and night, we used to sit there. So what did I see? That subhanallah, first a man came. And this is not a dream, I'm telling you the truth here. And this is after Dhuhr. After Dhuhr we are free, and I was thinking these thoughts about Hazrat. Where is Hazrat going to eat from? Where is he going to pass his time with? His poverty and hunger. And I saw a man came, and Hazrat was sitting there, and he took out a rial, quite a lot of rials, and he put them in Hazrat's lap and he disappeared. And I was sitting there, I shook a bit, and I saw, is this a man from DG Khan, a friend of ours? I thought, where's he gone? And then, this is the first answer, that money, Hazrat didn't have any money, how is he going to travel, the cost, the fare, this was the answer. Then Hazrat, what did he do? As soon as the money came, Hazrat, he said, Faruqi sahab, this is the money, I don't have to count, you count the money, keep to yourself, when I need the money, then I'll take it from me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That money, that when I started to count, and then I kept the money to myself. And then after 3 more minutes maybe, and I said that Hazrat's not eating or drinking, he's got no money, how's he going to eat and drink? Then an individual was passing by, and he had a tray, I thought it was the food of Jannah, and today that the taste on my tongue, because I don't, as I said to you, I eat the sweet, and he brought the gulab jamans, and so tasty, subhanallah. And the gulab jamun, you know, it's got the juice, and the gulab jamun's in the juice, and Hazrat sitting there, and he was sitting, and that person came and he presented the gulab jamun, don't know how he held them, and he put that into the lap of Hazrat Sahab, and he ran off. And I saw, I thought, what's this? And Hazrat Sahab, he took, the part of his kameez, he said, Faruqi Sahab, here these gulab jamuns, put these to the side, inshallah we'll keep on eating them afterwards, at the moment I'm not hungry. Subhanallah. Now I'm thinking and looking, the gulab jamuns, where have they come from? And they haven't even made any mark on Hazrat's kameez, no juice mark, no mark of the gulab jamun. I'm taking those gulab jamun, they're not touching my mark, make a mark. I said, Bismillah, these are the gulab jamun from Jannah, I must eat them quickly, don't leave them. And until today, the taste is there, and I distribute them to the brothers. So what I'm trying to say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was nothing there. We had nothing. I'm not telling you a story, I'm telling you the truth with my tarbiyat, how much my life has passed. It's passed, isn't it? What have I got? Every man think. That same hunger, the challenges, and our distresses, and our problems, and issues, and that we think that all of the things we run after in the world, we think our situations, our issues are solved, our issues are not solved. So why do we destroy life and run after and do things? Make a decision that after today, I'm going to live my life, and everything in my life according to Sunnah. I'm not going to eat haram, I'm not going to do fruit, I'm not going to leave one salah. From top to bottom, I'm going to take the kitabs, whatever Sunnah the Rasulullah used to wear, this labas, he used to do this action, this is how he ran his business and transactions, whatever I get from this, from today, amana wa sadaqna, I'm going to take this in my life, and I'm not going to want anything else in life. What a great decision. Amana wa sadaqna. That I'm going to live my life like this. I've lived my life like this, 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years, how many years I've sat, and what have I attained? Have I attained anything in the world? Luxuries, comforts, I'm worried, oh, poverty, I'm going to sleep. What is going to happen in my grave? I swear by Allah, how am I going to reply the beats in the grave? If I live the life pure, I'm going to wait, that please let the death come quick so I can do the ziyarah of Rasulullah in the death. The two opposites way of life come, the thoughts change. Person who is distressed, fearing death, he thinks, what am I going to earn? He knows he's done haram all his life. If I go forward, what am I going to take with me? And what I leave, that's going to give me beats in the grave. But the other person, all his life, he's persevered, imitated sunnah, eating, drinking, earning everything, doesn't matter if it was less in the house, his life totally halal, solid according to the sunnah, he's happy. Quickly, I've got a good sign that I want to pass away quickly, so I'm thrown into the grave, so I can do first and foremost when I'm asked, that who is this, and man rasulukum, and I will reply that who is my rasul, that he is my rasul, salam, he is my rasul. Subhanallah. So that's it, my brothers, these all words. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, and all you brothers give the tawfiq. If you want to have love, there's our two paths. Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have the love with both, and everything else is a fraud. Everything else is nafsani in the world. Nafsani. All the other loves are nafsiani, or desires. There's no benefit because there's no reply. But these two loves. Love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true love. And suddenly the reply will come. Not a second will pass, the response will come. Not even the eye will blink such with a flash. I swear by Allah, if you love Allah or Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the eye will not blink. In a flash the response will come. In a flash the response will come straight away. Immediately the response will come that you've loved me and I love you at the same time. May Allah ta'ala says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you love me and then I will love them. And if they are my friends, I'm their friend, Allah ta'ala says. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, isn't it? Allah's Nabi says that they love my sunnah, I love them. So this is not a drama. This is not a play. These are not blank empty words. This is reality. But what's the situation? The condition? The Quran says, you can have the love. You can have ziyarah. You're listening, I'm listening, we're all listening. But there's a point here, a condition. Shaitan. Whenever you make niyyah, intention, I'm going to do this, the biggest restriction, obstacle will come from who? Shaitan. Shaitan, oh, don't be mad. No, don't listen to the malana. Or when you have to give the bill, then you'll realize. When this happens, you'll realize. When you'll have to take the hardships of the world, you realize. And then the man starts to get scared. And shaitan comes to him. And shaitan wins. Hadith and Quran, we put to the back. I've told you these events, the dreams, such people's dreams that I knew. They were in front of me at their lives, I'm telling you. So these words I'm telling you for what reason? I'm not telling you for you. I'm telling myself and giving taqwiyah to myself that Allah, there are a few days of life left. That Allah, please allow me to live my life according to your Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've made some mistakes, I've earned haram, I've done bad, I've lived the life of distress, I've wasted my time, but Allah, there's one cure. There's one cure. I want to start a new life. When you want to start a new life afresh, what is that? Allah, I've come to your court. I seek forgiveness from you. Just say one word to Allah. Allah, forgive me. I want the ease. When this word comes from the, it doesn't even leave the tip of your tongue, from the heavens, so many angels will come. They'll grab that individual. Angels will be amazed. And the world will be amazed that this man, that he's caught so quickly by the angels. Allah Ta'ala gives straight away an answer that bring him up to the heavens on your wings and presented me. I've accepted this person. His tawbah, he's come to me. He's come to me. So where have all the sins gone? Disappeared. 1 second does not take. This from the tongue with the pain from the heart. Allah have made sins and zina and fraud, I've stolen. That's it. And I know I'm about to die. I'm going to pass away. But Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. That's all you have to say. And subhanAllah, so many people, Allah Ta'ala say, I've made paradise and abode for you. I recited the verses there. Ulaka, ulaika humul warithun. Let me tell you a point about that verse. What is this about Jannah? Paradise. That subhanAllah, this word is coming from me. Not that I'm giving you yesterday's bayan or I'm presenting again. Ulaika humul warithun. And what is the warith? The inheritance Allah Ta'ala is going to give? Jannah, paradise. 2 points come out from this. 2 points. Listen. What is the warith? Who is the inheritor? What does he inherit? In the hadith it is stated that every individual, Allah Ta'ala has given two maqams, two stations with you, with him and with me, with everybody, with everyone. The whole of mankind, every person, every human being, there are two maqams, two stations with every human being. Believe, don't believe, whatever. Two maqams, two stations. Where? One is in Jannah, the house, and one is where? In Jahannam, in hellfire. In paradise, one home, and one home is in hellfire. Look at this, Allah Ta'ala, his preparation. And then Zayd passes away, or James passes away, or Paul passes away. Anyone can pass away. So look at ulaika humul warithun. Look at the point that comes out. So what happens is that the Khalid passes away, okay? And he's presented in the court of Allah. And he was a sinner. And he committed sins. And what's his station? His house was constructed in Jannah, like you've got a house in Pakistan, and he's got a house in Jannah, in paradise. Now, he's not living there because he sinned. And his destiny is Jahannam. So what happens? So he's told, get out. Get out, go into Jahannam. And then his house is empty in paradise. Allah says, ulaika humul warithun. That man who was going to go into hellfire and he did a good deed, and then where's his house? His house will empty, the first person, and that second person will go, and he will be allotted that first house, the first person, and he will become the warith. And the all of the houses that will be empty in paradise, Allah says, ulaika humul warithun. Allah says, I'll make those people inherit. Masala, you're already in Jannah and you've already got a house, and then you do more good deeds, and then what will happen? That the person whose house is empty, Allah says, you'll get another house allotted to you, and you'll have two plots. Two houses, two assets, and the person with his hurs and his destiny, everything will give to ulaika humul warithun. And now you've become a warith, and he will be taken out of there. So it's stated like this, that all the people who don't believe, whose houses are empty, where? In Jannah, in paradise, they're constructed, aren't they? So all of those will be given to those people who believed and did good deeds, and they will become the inheritors. So this is the tafsir of this verse. And there's another warith, another inheritor. Who is he? There are two types of warith. One is the house And one is you're a tenant and one is your real home. So what I said, will you get the inheritance if you're living on rent, or will you get the inheritance if you've got your own property? Ulama, the scholars will say only the property that's yours will get inheritance. Otherwise, the person who's a tenant and pass away, the landlord will take the house. He said, I gave this to you on rent. Tenancy, you can't distribute this and give this inheritance. So the real property in your name will be given inheritance. What's inheritance? Permanent, solid. It's not going to move. It's your house. You can't take it even after dying. It's on your name. And then it's distributed. So Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, that your house in Jannah, paradise, the palace, the mansion. Allah Ta'ala announces this. What are these? This is the inheritance. This is not property on rent. Your homes in Jannah, paradise, Allah says, they will be permanently yours. And your life eternal is there forever. And nobody will be able to take that house, that asset from you, I've allotted to you. That becomes your inheritance, that Jannah, subhanallah. What a beautiful thing the Quran is telling us. Anyway, the discussion is extended. Let's do some dhikr. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. That today's discussion, our majlis today, our gathering, the subject was this. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may we in our hearts, whatever we are with our broken hearts, let's make a promise. We're sitting here to make a promise. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ziyarah of Rasulullah. May He allow us to revive the sunnah in our lives. We're weak. Our conditions are weak. But when we have heard Allah and You've given us fadl, You've brought us to Your gathering, then due to the sadqa of this gathering, give us the courage and determination, Allah. Ameen. And give us determination so that we, for the rest of our lives, as much as we can, we live our life in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah. So some recite Durood Sharif.